Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Tonight, we're going to take your phone calls. The number is 347-335-0818. Last week, we talked about the Podesta emails and related pedophile investigations regarding Comet Pizza Ping Pong, based in Washington, D.C. And I appreciate your feedback on that ongoing citizen journalist investigation. If you didn't hear that show, it's posted at inothernewsradio.com. And if you're new to this show, it started in 2010, and a main focus has been climate engineering. In Other News has produced the highest volume of shows on the topic of geoengineering and weather control than any show on the Pacific Network. Will public and community radio begin to honestly investigate and report on this topic, because it's rarely mentioned, and if it's mentioned, it's sometimes laced with propaganda. Now, a few years ago, longtime KPFA listener Vivian Morkington was a guest on this show, admonishing public and community radio to take some courage and accurately cover the topic of climate engineering, the harmful fallout, Monsanto, the carbon credit tax scam, and really connect it all together. In November of 2014, Vivian Warkentine's article, The Real Inconvenient Truth, was published online at the Berkeley Daily Planet, and I read it on the air. I enhanced the audio mix a little bit for emphasis. Let's take a listen. The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Warkentin. A person might be stoned for heresy in Berkeley if they were to question belief in global warming. But as a decades-long left-leaning KPFA listening and sponsoring, commuter bike riding, composting, plastic avoiding, bring your own cloth grocery bag environmental activist, I'm seeing too much hypocrisy and closed-minded smugness, and a lack of critical thinking on the part of those who I have always thought of as my people. I've come to the conclusion that those with liberal roots like me have been sent on a fool's errand, sucked into the unquestioning groupthink and religiosity by a well-funded corporatized environmental establishment that is scaring us into accepting top-down, pre-prescribed faux solutions that have never had public input and are designed to enrich bankers, diminish the rights of ordinary people, and funnel us into a controlled technocratic society. We hear plenty of talk about lowering parts per million of carbon, while basic principles of environmentalism are violated, such as don't pollute, do no harm, local control, conservation, recycle, reuse, live simply. Less technology, not more. The democratic left has been hijacked and infiltrated, our ideals and beliefs distorted and twisted into a disciplinary social agenda which demonizes rank and file humanity and deflects responsibility away from the real perpetrators of the destruction of our natural world. Al Gore, the man charged with popularizing the global warming theory, uses 20 times the energy of the average person in just one of his multi-million-dollar homes, yet his, quote, carbon footprint is never put under a spotlight. Few remember how, as vice president, he used his, quote, earth in the balanced environmental cred to stump for passage of NAFTA and free trade policies, which started the environmental race to the bottom, in the wholesale giving away of local power over land and laws to multinational corporations. Now, Gore is investing with partners such as Goldman Sachs in carbon trading schemes, espousing the self-enriching solution to a problem he defines. It would seem subscribers to the theory of global warming never question the designation of CO2 as the root of our environmental problems and its convenient consequent value as a global taxable trading currency founded on the commodification of nature and a newly invented, quote, right to pollute. This unverifiable system run by bankers will accelerate, not slow, the pillaging of the planet. It is my observation that all aspects of the left, alternative media, from the progressive weeklies to KPFA radio, are conducting the environmental wing of the global war on terror, never missing an opportunity to frighten and guilt trip us that we will cause, quote, game over for the planet if we don't vote for, quote, climate change legislation, aka carbon taxes and carbon trading, and support, quote, smart growth policies. We are schooled that only crazy right-wingers could possibly question the, quote, settled science and the, quote, settled remedies. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, is always cited as a trusted, go-to body of expertise, even though their integrity was discredited with the, quote, ClimateGate scandal based on leaked emails in which head scientists at the IPCC, Michael Mann of Penn State, and Phil Jones of East Anglia University discussed doctoring the data on the, quote, hockey stick graph created by Michael Mann, and punishing scientists and scientific journals that print contradictory evidence to the theory of global warming. So many now are feeding at the trough of climate change disaster capitalism that a rational open debate is almost impossible. City councils throughout the land are curiously all subscribing to the same developer, banker enriching, land-grabbing policies of, quote, smart growth. Unelected, unaccountable regional boards made up of selected local officials, along with corporations and non-governmental organizations, are drawing up dictatorial regional plans for growth that supersede city governments, depriving citizens of the right to affect their own local land use policy. In the name of climate change remediation, we are told we must pack more people into smaller areas of land, as our towns are being transformed into mega Manhattanized cities with tall, multi-unit apartment buildings that take our sunlight and ultimately our connection to the land and nature. Old buildings, neighborhoods, and communities are wastefully being torn down and made over to fit the vision of elite ideologue urban planners. In the upheaval, small, local, independent businesses are lost and replaced with national chains. This is not protection of nature, but a transfer of wealth, power, property ownership, and autonomy of cities, towns, and rural areas away from ordinary citizens. Today's, quote, environmentalists are working towards increased government and corporate control and surveillance over our lives through biohazardous technology, i.e. smart grid and smart meters, with no regard for thousands of independent scientific studies proving that digital microwave radiation damages biology. Instead of a call to decentralize, simplify, and conserve, citizens worldwide are being forced to apply, quote, smart meters to their homes, even as they are complaining of heart palpitations, extreme fatigue, mental confusion, sleeplessness, headaches, ear ringing, dizziness, and more.
It's mixed.
A technology is neither, quote, green nor, quote, sustainable if its byproduct harms humans, insects, plants, and animals. This unseen pollution from smart meters and smart grid infrastructure is increasing exponentially with no objections from official environmentalists. Unlike the old meters, smart meters use energy to power themselves 24/7. And I might interject and add, your energy is being used to power the smart meters 24/7. They are only advantageous to a centralized corporate model of energy control. Most shockingly, the left, who claim to have the corner on environmental stewardship, are the ones giving credence to geoengineering solar radiation management. That's the spraying of chemical nanoparticle pollution, such as aluminum oxide and sulfur dioxide via jet aircraft, into the atmosphere in order to block the sun, as a solution for global warming. On May 9, 2013, the Earth Island Institute sponsored a debate cavalierly dubbed, quote, Hack the Sky, at the Brouwer Center in Berkeley, California. The purported adversaries were Stanford geoengineer Ken Caldera and so-called ethicist Clive Hamilton, who belongs to the same geoengineering-promoting solar radiation management governance group with Caldera and other geoengineers. That very morning, two debaters made an appearance on liberal KALW's Your Call. A few months later, the apprentices on Progressive Radio's KPFA's Full Circle hosted the same performance duo. Why are environmental groups and left media putting on rigged debates, legitimizing and normalizing a preposterous technology which poisons and desecrates nature and can only cause irreparable harm, when they could be screaming warnings from the rafters that scientists are recklessly playing God with our world? These left media outlets are unconscionably frightening their following into accepting what amounts to nothing less than the corporate scientific intervention into our natural weather and climate systems. The environmental establishment chooses to ignore a whole area of inquiry relevant and crucial to the climate change equation, that of scientific, military, university, and governmental, NASA and NOAA experimentation with our atmosphere and weather, which has been going on for many decades. The book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, by Nick Begich and Jeannie Manning, documents the history of military experimentation with the Earth's atmosphere and chronicles the development, including 12 patents, of the high-frequency active auroral research project known as HARP, a field of giant antennas which can boil the upper atmosphere with a focused, steerable, billion-watt electromagnetic beam, sending electromagnetic waves back onto a target on Earth, causing changes in the jet stream and weather. The Department of Defense and their military contractors operate outside of all laws that protect the environment. Ironically, the climate change activists of today are listening to and trusting the very moneyed, powerful entities who have brought us to the brink of ecological collapse and forced us into fossil fuel dependency for diagnosis and treatment of our environmental calamities. I'm going to say that sentence again. Ironically, the climate change activists of today are listening to and trusting the very moneyed, powerful entities who have brought us to the brink of ecological collapse and forced us into fossil fuel dependency for diagnosis and treatment of our environmental calamities. The Rockefellers, one of the biggest funders and grant givers to the current environmental, quote, movement, have, throughout the decades, used their wealth and influence derived from big oil to remain in control of energy. They financed prohibition in the 1920s and 30s to keep farmers from making their own alcohol fuel and worked to criminalize hemp from which fuel was made. They killed the electric car and the municipal electric railways and influenced our government to suppress more than 5,000 energy technology patents, which have potential to end our energy crisis. The rhetoric we hear of creating economic and environmental equity among people and nations rings hollow. When you realize that the environmental establishment is being bought and commandeered by the richest fat cats in the world, who have the inordinate means to create equity overnight and to stop their destructive environmental practices, if that were their true purpose. Instead, they're financing and manufacturing a phony grassroots campaign to pin the blame for environmental devastation on the, quote, every man who is living in a world choreographed by the corporate financial elite. Their message is that the future of the planet is impossible unless we, the little people, submit to the measures outlined by them. They have frightened, panicked, and demoralized the very people who would be fighting them with every breath into being the enforcement arm for their vision of our future. fear of climate change is being manipulated to get the left to aid in the stealing of citizens' rights and the corporatization of our local government land, business, nature, and weather. While the environmentalists are stuck on climate change, the nuclear accidents, toxic spills, pesticide contamination, deep-sea oil drilling, fracking, tree cutting, electromagnetic radiation, introduction into the ecosystem of new dangerous technological compounds and organisms such as GMOs, synthetic biology, nanoparticles, the geoengineering of our skies, destructive war and weapons, and much, much more continue unabated. Now, left-wing pundits such as The Nation's Mark Hertzgard tell us to be impressed that the big-time financial fleecers and scammers, quote, Hank Paulson, hedge fund billionaire, Tom Steyer, and Michael Bloomberg, have come on board with climate change, as if they haven't always been. The war on climate change has gone publicly mainstream, as the likes of BP, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Dow Chemical bankrolled the People's Climate March in New York City in September 2014. No, it is way past time for the left to question where blind belief in billionaire banker-funded environmentalism is taking us. That was titled The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Warkentin. Now, in an interview with Vivian, she explained that she wrote that article in bits and pieces. It had taken her a few years to distill down her thoughts, and I'm thinking to deprogram also. It took years for her to write that article. We're taking your phone calls. I'll give out the number and put you on the air if you have a question or comment related to what you just heard. Now, these wide-angle observations are needed right now to see how the pieces fit together, and it often prompts people to investigate certain areas even more. Now, think about the Paris Climate Accord and the reluctance to factor in this massive weather control operation that works harmoniously with the fossil fuel industry for operations such as heating permafrost or oil exploration or disrupting effective protests with artificially created blizzards and flooding rains. It's citizen journalism that pieces this evidence together. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
I just woke up and I heard that article, and it was just so ambiguous. Could you tell me what it meant?
I don't think so. I think it was very straightforward and very direct. If you want to look over the text, I suggest you go to Start Page as a search engine, type in The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Warkentin. She really pieces it all together very well. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. Jeffrey, this is Brandon.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. I just want to say, as a disaffected technocrat, I've got 40 years of geophysical engineering experience in the energy industries, and then as an environmental attorney for Lloyd's of London. And I just wanted to quickly list some of the clients and just say that I agree with the premise and thesis of your quote there, but I've worked for Brookhaven National Laboratories, Department of Energy, Los Alamos Scientific Laboratories, doing nuclear underground test geothermal stimulation projects out west.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked out at Sunoco doing oil research out west, as well as Peabody Coal, and then later Lloyd's of London, and unknowingly at University CIA, DIA. And I would just say that we've spoken over the last 5-6 years, and you and I both agree that probably that quote you just read is a summation of many of our side comments following your program. So,
You mean the article by Vivian?
Yeah. Your 5 or 10 minute recitation there seems to be a nice summation.
It's pretty good.
Of the critiques that you and I have come to, and I was fully invested in those industries, both as a geophysicist and then as an attorney, and now the disaffected former and now retired professor at local universities. So it just seems to me that none of this is being taught, as you and I have found out, that much is being masked in the inconvenient truth of it all, inverted to say that much of this is the bluster to keep us, you know, sort of like the child, look over here while I'm taking something from you over there. So it seems like the parental colonialized, civilization we live here is just really continuing to, you know, bleed the stone dry. So we're tired, but we're not going to stop, but trust in God for the goodness in the hearts of people to go forward. So keep up the good work, man.
Thank you, Brendan. I appreciate that. And thank you for sharing your thoughts and some of your history and background, because it's pretty amazing. If anyone is going to know the inception of where we're at right now, it would be you.
Well, I'd say your tutelage and guidance, and also helping to unmask much of the mystery, the front play, and find out the sock puppet hand behind it all. It's not someone benign like the Wizard of Oz. And, I'm not trying to just mix metaphors. It just seems like the scenario goes on, the misery continues, but, you know, the spirit isn't broken. And because of the belief and trust in, say, the Creator and the love for future generations, I just got off a meeting last week with John Kane, and we left the meeting talking about the Confederation of the Six Nations and their ethic of the seven generations, how they were able to keep his people from being occupied fully and surviving domination, the domination code. And his summation was strength or unity and, let's say, foresight. So have a good evening.
Thank you, Brendan. Thank you for that call. It's interesting, listeners, because, yes, strength and unity, but also the knowledge of what's happening. You've got to know who's shooting at you in order to and come up with a strategy. This information, the way it was condensed by Vivian, it's hard to keep that in your mind intact and know that that's going on around you all the time. It's very difficult. And then to be able to summarize that in conversation with other people. She really outlined a very important aspect of this very disturbing web. The number to call is 347-335-0818. If you have a comment or question about that, or anything from past shows, because it will fit in to this conversation. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm a long-time listener of to BAI. My name is Joe. I'm wondering, speaking about the recent election, if Bernie had said that he was a democratic socialist, he might have beat the people in the Democratic Party who didn't want him. What do you think?
It seems to me that
he would have used the word, you know.
I'm going to answer the question.
Sure.
It seems to me that the Democratic Party is so fragmented and compromised and unorganized that it wouldn't have made any difference. I could be wrong about that, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah. There was the great raconteur in the 30s, who could have been president, and he died in an air crash in Alaska. And they said, "What is your political affiliation?" He said, "I don't belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat." I forget his name. He could have been. He was so popular, he could have been elected president.
As a longtime WBAI listener and paying attention to, well, what's broadcast on the station and where we're at now, what are your thoughts about the direction for the left to move?
Well, as a longtime listener, the left has to do what the Republicans did, has to organize at the state level. That's how the Republicans were able to get the Electoral College. Al Gore lives in the neighborhood. I'm in the East 50s. He was a good guy. And what I had overheard at a coffee shop from women high in the Democratic Party was that when he was vice president, Hillary demeaned him very much. He had come from a respected the Gore family, and he was a gentleman. And Hillary, cut off his balls.
Well, I don't want to go
Will
too
Rogers,
far into that, but maybe
the,
you're bringing up
yeah.
you're bringing up the topics of.
It was Will Rogers, and thank you for your program.
Have a good night. The number to call 347-335-0818 if you have a comment or a question about some of the information that we're talking about and talked about earlier. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hi. I really appreciate your show so much, and I'm so glad you're back on. And that statement was really good. You know, it should be published, should be broadcast. And because of that perspective, which I've been sharing and, you know, gotten a lot of information from your show, that it just makes sense, you know. And I'm just very grateful to it. I just wish more people on the left could understand that, because they seem so far behind on these levels of, you know, these intricacies of control. And, you know, the geoengineering thing, you know, I've also, I went out to that meeting with the people from Long Island and stuff, that you had an event a few years ago, and it's so important, and people are just missing, you know, they're missing this big picture. And then dwelling on, you know, this ridiculous, I call it a big puppet show. And anyway, I just, that's all I want to say tonight. But anyway, I'm very grateful for your show. And please continue and continue these big picture events. Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay.
The meeting I think she's mentioning is the one in 2012 where the people who ran Long Island Skywatch, which is no longer, and nobody took the mantle on that, unfortunately. But they arranged to propose a ban on geoengineering in and over Long Island. And there was a public meeting on that. And if you've been a listener to this show, I love playing clips from that because it's so good. And there were over 100 people in that room, and some of the legislators in Suffolk County were actually mocking the people who were coming up to speak. And the people who came up to speak about geoengineering and weather control technology and the aerosol spraying of the skies were very informed and impassioned and emotional, and it blew them away. You can watch it online. And there were moments where one of the legislators just jokingly put a mask up to his face and looked around like, hey, look at me. I'm breathing through a mask. I'm going to die. Ah. And it was funny to his colleagues, I suppose, but he was on camera doing that. It really spoke volumes. Well, the number to call is 347-335-0818. I'm taking your phone calls. I want to know what you're thinking about some of these topics. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I just heard a small part of your show for the first time. It's very interesting, and I heard the last part of the article that was written. Was her name Vivian? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yes, Vivian Workington. And the title is The Real Inconvenient Truth. And it was published, I think, back in November 2014, maybe earlier.
Very interesting information, and seemed to me like kind of common sense if you are observing just every day in the environment and paying attention to kind of what's happening. I think that the way she put it together, from what I heard, was quite straightforward. It's certainly unnerving, the whole thing and the details, but better to be more aware of what's happening and try to see what can possibly be done to try to have a different reality that would be better for people and the environment and animals and all across the board.
Agreed.
So I appreciate your show very much, and I'll be listening in the future, and thanks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the comments. Have a good night.
Have a good day.
Bye. Bye. The number to call, 347-335-0818, if you have a question or comment. And if you caught the article by Vivian Workington, The Real Inconvenient Truth, and did you notice this last caller said it seemed like common sense, but it took Vivian years to distill down her own thoughts and break through the programming. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Your show is one of my favorites. I am very upset over the chemtrails and feel that first of all, it's damaging human beings, and secondly, the sky is not the sky anymore. I mean, on a day when they're not doing it, it's just a joy. But so that's my comment. And also, Dane Wigington, he said that it is the worst thing that's could be, and I agree with that. It's ruining everything, the earth, everything. It's disgusting.
Yes, I agree. I have some comments on that as well. And we have to be careful about not falling into the muck of negative energy, negative news, because it seems that there are efforts by those running the mainstream media outlets to mire us in that. And we got to be very careful because it weakens our spirit and we become very vulnerable. And we vibrate in that frequency of fear. Mindful, aware, and tuned in to what's really going on, and strong. We have to be strong about this. The first stage is to just connect with people like Vivian and thank her for her article. She caught a lot of BS from writing that, but she did it anyway.
Okay, great. And the phone only rings one time. You can only get one call, and then it's busy.
Oh, interesting. Okay, thanks for
you're welcome
for letting us know.
Like right now, it's busy because I'm on here. So, yeah. Okay, thanks so much, Jeff.
Okay, take it easy. I was just going over the Paris Climate Accord and the reluctance to factor in the massive weather control operations that work harmoniously with the fossil fuel industry. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm listening to your show. I've listened to you before, and I'd like to maybe point out that what you said about being trapped by fear seems to me to be what your show traffics in mostly.
Mm.
And all your callers seem to be trapped by fear. They're afraid of chemtrails.
Not true. That's not true.
They're afraid of GMOs.
That's not true. That's not true.
They're afraid of GMOs and their food.
That's not true. That's not true.
They're afraid of weather.
That's not true. That's not true, sir.
And you're purveying this.
That's not true either.
How do we know that you're not a tool of the corporations trying to frighten us with GMOs and chemtrails?
I'm not trying to frighten anyone. You're wrong. You're so wrong. How do we know you're not a plant calling right now? You're not an agent provocateur.
Well, does that make you afraid? Are you making your audience afraid of me?
No,
now?
In fact, I brought that up because of people like you that would call in and say things like this.
What did you bring up so that?
I brought up, like, you got to be, listen, I brought up the fact that you got to be careful and not getting mired into the fear, into the
right,
frequency of fear. But you have to be aware of this. You can't just run around and say everything's fine. You have to be aware of it. You have to be aware of the manipulation, okay?
So talking about chemtrails all the time doesn't make
all the time? Talking about it all the time? Really?
Yes. Every show I've listened to you.
Every show. No, it hasn't been every show. Really? Every show?
Every other show?
Oh, every other show now. Okay. Make up your mind, sir.
Well, you've got plenty of things that people have to be afraid of. You had a show about people dressing up in invisibility clothes, too.
Yeah, and you're afraid of that?
No, I'm not, because okay. It's nonsense. But you're.
Why is it nonsense? Wait. Why is it nonsense?
Because it's straight out of a Philip K. Dick novel. Who said it was fiction?
Because of your opinion saying it's not true, even though you're invalidating somebody's experience and research who wrote a book and it was published by Orr Books. This is your opinion, sir.
And it was his opinion when he wrote his
no, it was
book.
It was. You talked with him and you found that out. That's your research. You're bringing
you
to the table.
With him and you're
bringing this
no
to the ears of New York
other
City.
Than to validate everything he said.
Sir, I'm going to hang up on you.
Goodbye.
Anyway, getting back to the negative news and the frequency of fear. Yes, we have to be mindful of that. And there are patterns of manipulation within the mainstream media. And we had a guest on named Jeff Miller, who regularly makes posts on the Etheric Warrior site titled Positive Changes That Are Occurring. And it was not easy to get him on the show. But it was really eye-opening in that interview. And if you want to check that interview out, it's you can go to inothernewsradio.com. Jeff Miller is his name. Positive Changes That Are Occurring. We're going to hear a clip, I think, if we have time, we're going to hear a clip from him. And we're still taking your phone calls. 347-335-0818. Last week, there was an obvious and out-of-place article titled Mystery Plane Circles Denver. Officials Have Few Answers. And this is, here's some of the text from the Denver News article. Take a closer look here. When asking the FAA about the flight, there was no information immediately available. However, the organization said it would continue to investigate. It's not known what the flight's purpose was, but Denver 7 can confirm its destination wasn't in Colorado. Denver 7 will update the story if any information is learned about the mysterious plane. Well, I thought this was interesting because at the time, the area in question that the so-called mystery plane circled many, many times, causing thousands of people to take notice, is, I suspect, where the heart of the low-pressure energy system was located at the time. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll recall how some top researchers in climate engineering will explain the way directed energy can be used to enhance or diminish weather systems in storms. This particular system made its way to the northeast through South Dakota, and it's what we're experiencing right now. Go look it up. Mystery Plane Circles Denver. Officials Have Few Answers. Is this an example of using geoengineering in an effort to wear down effective protests? Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm a caller from Germany, and I would just like to know what the name of your show is.
The name of the show is In Other News.
Okay. I heard your comments on global warming, and I would just like to say that I think mankind has a chance with shows like yours to overcome it.
Why do you say that, sir?
I think humanity has been here before, and I think we'll get through it. It's my gut feeling.
Where in Germany are you calling from?
I'm just outside Munich.
Do you remember many articles about the spraying of aerosol in the skies above Germany? And I think there was a flurry of local news reporting on it a number of years ago. Do you recall that?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A listener in Germany. That's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll recall how some of the top researchers in climate engineering fields will explain the ways directed energy can be used to enhance or diminish weather systems and storms. And I suspect this was an engineered storm that made its way up to and into the South Dakota protest area. I could be wrong, but it's worth investigating. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello. I appreciate your show. This is Tony from Brooklyn. And I've heard quite a bit of Gary Noll talking about also genetically engineered foods. And I read a Joni Mitchell's book, and it was discovered that she had Morgellons disease. Mm-hmm. And they discovered also, because Gary brought it out, mm-hmm. about Morgellons disease, that it came from, it stems from genetically engineered foods. And I just wanted to tell you also that I appreciate your programming on geoengineering and the lot. And thank you very much.
Thank you for that phone call. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Well, that's heartening to know. Gary Noll is all over this stuff. Have you seen that article? Trump has tapped Congressman Mike Pompeo to head the CIA. In April of 2014, Pompeo introduced the bill that would become the Dark Act, banning states from passing laws mandating GMO labeling on food. Instead, the Dark Act introduces very weak and confused federal GMO labels. Few people will pay attention to them or even realize they're there. Just to connect with that caller's message there. There's a connection, too, with geoengineering and genetically modified organisms and food, that why in the world are they spraying that DVD had investigated into deeply. As you've heard in the letter by Vivian Workington, when protests start to slow down, commerce or mega banks absorb losses, operations such as climate engineering that would direct inclement weather systems over protests in question would be deployed with plausible deniability.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. I'm having a hard time hearing you, and I'm not sure if you can hear me.
We can hear you fine.
Okay. So I was curious, you know, one of the things that people tend to not really talk about, and I feel on a national or global level would be the ultimate movement that would connect all of these things is, you know, consumerism is the thing that seems to support these kind of horrible things that are going into existence, and it's something that we don't talk about. Excessive consumerism, a consumption-for-profit system, you know, rather than, you know, why do we need to have a new pair of shoes every year or a new phone every year? Or, you know, we don't have the technology to make an automobile that can be used as a form of transportation, but maybe not be wasteful and constantly need to be replaced. And fuel is, you know, this big fight. You look at the North, you know, you look at the Dakota Access Pipeline and other, you know, pipelines that are being proposed, and our dependency on fuel, and, you know, all of these just horrific things that are really a threat to our future. And the main connection is the consumerism. And I imagine that there will be a future where people will catch on to that and renounce it and fight that and say we don't need all this stuff. And I'm just wondering your thoughts on that as far as having a fuel dependency and really people learning to live a movement of just living simpler and not giving into these systems. And it just doesn't seem to get mentioned very often.
You're right about that. Those are very good comments. And it made me think of the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divest, Sanction movement, because that seemed to be very, very effective. And if that strategy that template was put over this as a movement, I think it would be very effective, and that would be just opting out, not buying things and fixing things yourself and, you know, moving in that direction. Are you familiar with the BDS movement?
No.
The Palestinians' one of their main strategies of protest, and it was very, very effective to the point where their governors in various states that are enacting legislation to stop BDS. That's a very effective way to do it. So those were my immediate thoughts on that.
Okay, it's a little hard to hear you, and I'm wondering, because I have the radio playing, if there's a delay and if this is a call that would be placed on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air right now, and there is a delay.
Hello. I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. It's something that I feel. If there is an outlet for people to hear this and to understand that, just to act to buy more shoes than you need and a new phone and not demanding that our technology, you know what, and I don't want to take up too much time, but, I always say that in a consumption for profit system, we're really hurting ourselves in the sense that our technologies aren't produced, really for any other reason than someone is getting rich off of things being disposable. And the amount of energy and the amount of oil that needs to be produced to support that type of society, which has now become a global reality, I really think that's our biggest disease. I think that's our biggest ill. And until we come together as people and confront that issue, we will die of our own disease in a way. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I think something beautiful could blossom afterwards, and that fall there can be something positive. But I just think all these fights, until that main issue is addressed, all of these other fights we're fighting one fight in all of these separate little ways. And at the end of the day, if we refuse to participate in that consumption for profit system and get back to grassroots and localized survival and living until our technology and our way of life was made simpler, I think sometimes people think simple means not advanced or de-evolution or living like a caveman. And it's,
right, uncomfortable.
I wonder why people think that we can't be advanced and grow our technology in outside of that consumption for profit system, which I think actually hinders our technology and our development, because we're focusing on making things disposable rather than making them dependable. Yeah, imagine a world where you come into this world and you're given an automobile, and it's your vehicle for life. It's your vehicle for life, and maybe it functions on something other than oil, or maybe towns are connected by magnetic trains, and there's not this constant reproduction of automobiles and cell phones and shoes and clothing and. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're putting a lot of garbage into the world.
That's true.
Nobody's talking about it.
Right, disposable.
And it's like, why are we so obsessed with oil and all these horrible things happening?
Are we obsessed? It. Yeah, it's laid at the feet of the regular person who will get taxed for this in the big carbon credit scam. And I wonder, and that's what Vivian points out in that as well. I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very lucid comments there. I think we have time for a 30-second phone call. If you have a comment or question to add to that, that's too short a time.
Can't do it.
Well, that's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again next Monday night at 11 p.m., and we'll get into some more material like this, because I feel we're just scratching the surface. There are more unpleasant pieces of news to look at, because I feel that it is important to connect this material together. And I don't mean to get negative here, or it's nothing intentional, but I feel that it might be helpful to jolt some awake on some of these topics.
Thank you. Thank you.